Blog Talk Radio.
Is he coming in? I don't know if he's coming in or not, but if he is, he'll probably be in a little later. This is Elder G. Bizarre. We're coming to you from the Word of the Living God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're here to let you know the King is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth pretty soon. He's on his way. He's preparing to judge the world in righteousness. And we're here to let you know, amen. You better get ready. You better get ready. You better seek the Lord of your salvation so that when the rapture comes into play and the dead in Christ shall rise and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. For those that are been saved and sanctified, cleansed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you say you're going to heaven, if you say you think you're going to heaven, if you have an idea that you might make it, one thing you better make sure. You better make sure you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the only blood that can save humanity, the only blood that can save the drunk, the liar, the cheapskate, the whoremonger. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only power in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth that can save mankind from sin and damnation. This is Elder G. Bizarre. I'm here to let you know, get ready. Get ready to meet the Lord real soon. We will be covering some subjects. Oh, we know, amen. I know some people say, well, this thing go around in a circle. But let me tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not change. It is the same from the beginning. It will be same at the end and go on into eternity. But right now, we got to deal with time. We got to deal because time is running out for humanity. The time that we're in now is running out. It's running out fast. It's running out quickly. And before you know it, we'll be into 2022. And what you're talking about a year, this past year was a hectic year, but the one that's coming, it's going to be more hectic because the Bible says evil men Even men shall wax worse and worse. So we're here to tell you that we're going to be covering some subjects today. Amen. We'll be letting you know that there is a living God and that he is, amen, alive. He is the same yesterday, the same forevermore. He is eternal one. He's Alpha and Omega. We'll be covering of the rapture. We know, we get familiar with that. The rapture of the church, the Antichrist, is alive today. He's waiting in the wings of time. He'll be stepping out on the podium after a while. We have the peace treaty that's going to be taking place. We have the seven-year tribulation. Oh, my God. We have the 144,000 during the tribulation period, because during the tribulation period, the church will not be here on earth. It will not be here. It will not be here. The rapture of the church must take place first before the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. We'll be hitting on the 144,000 Jewish men that will be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ after the rapture, because the church age will be over when Jesus Christ calls those from the grave and call those that's alive. We shall meet him in the glories of the clouds of the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Russia and Israel is going to go at it. Russia is trying to break away from all other nations and make a horrific attack upon Israel. But Israel will win, because God will defeat, amen, the Russian army and the other armies that will follow him into invading Israel to take control of the Middle East. We have the 28th judgment, the seven seals, the seven bowls, the seven plagues, and the seven thunders that will crack the earth. It will devastate the population of the earth. It will terminate those that have rejected the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those that have rejected the blood of Christ, those that have rejected the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those that are believing that they can go to heaven in their way, but you can't get to heaven in your way or nobody else's way. There's only one way, one absolute way, that a man can enter the kingdom of God, and that is ye must be, have to be, should be, ought to be, and knowing that you must be born again in order to even see the kingdom of God. Your church work, your church labor, you're going to church, you're singing in the choir, you're giving your tithes and offerings, or whatever you try to do to try to meet up to the requirements of what God will accept you or not, he will not accept you except you accept his son, Jesus Christ. So you have to repent, or you shall likewise perish. We have the mark of the beast, the 666, the computer chip is on the makings, and the world today and the Illuminatis and the high sophisticated secret societies are working on this computer chip right now. Amen. They're getting it together so when the fullness of time comes for the beast to rise up out of the race of humanity, they will be chipping people. They will be branding people. They will be putting stamps on the back of your hand and computer chips in your forehead. For those that believe that this Antichrist is going to come, is going to be the true Christ. But the Christ, the false Christ, is getting ready to come. He's alive today. He's on this earth right now. And when he comes on the scene, he's going to deceive the population of the world, and the world is going to believe this man is actually Jesus Christ, when it will be the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that means the church will be gone. The church and the Antichrist will not be on this earth at the same time. The only one that's going to be on this earth when the Antichrist comes, there's 144,000 and the two witnesses that will witness for 7 years on this earth the gospel of the kingdom. We have the two witnesses that said we will have Moses and Elijah that will come back from the dead and preach in Jerusalem in the last 3.5 years. That's just before Christ comes. That'll be 1,260 days, 42 months, or it will be a time and times and dividing the times. That equals to 3.5 years that the two witnesses will preach the unadulterated word of God up on this earth for 3.5 years to be a witness to the last 3.5 years of judgment that will come up on this earth. We have, after the two witnesses come, then we have the return of Jesus Christ and the battle of Armageddon. After the 7-year tribulation is over, Jesus Christ will actually come back to this earth with the church. Listen to me now. He's coming back with the church of the living God, the church that Jesus Christ purchased with his own blood. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago for my sins, your sins, and the sins of the whole world. He done gave man 6,000 years, 4,000 years of law, and 2,000 years of grace. And now we're living in the grace period, because grace is the only thing that can save us. By grace we are saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. So the grace of God has been preached for the last 2,000 years since the burial, death, and the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now the church age is almost over, because in the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, around the 13th or 14th verse, it said there's a church that will come up in the last day that's called Laodicean church age. And that's the lukewarm church. It's neither hot nor neither cold. People will have the form of godliness, but they won't have no power. No power at all. They won't have the power of love. They won't have the power of joy. They won't have the power of peace. They won't have no power to operate, because they are hypocritical. They're hypocritical. They're pretending that they know Christ, but they're living a hypocritical life. And so this is that church that Jesus said that either you be hot or either you be cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I will vomit you up. I will gurgitate you up, because you have not been genuinely wise, been born again. You're born under the influence of head knowledge and not heart knowledge. A lot of people got head knowledge, but they don't have the heart knowledge of true salvation. Because the Bible said many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied? Have not we spoken in tongues? Have not we cast out devils? Have not we done miracles on top of miracles? Lord, don't you know us? And the Lord Jesus Christ will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't know you. And the world is saying, we know Jesus. No, you don't, because you know him only by head knowledge. But you got to know him by experience of heart knowledge. You've got to experience the power of Jesus Christ for yourself. Mama can't go to heaven for me. Daddy can't go to heaven for me. My money can't go to heaven for me. My looks can't go to heaven for me. You must be born again. And then after Christ comes back, he's going to fight the battle of Armageddon. And Armageddon is on the horizon. But before Armageddon comes, there's going to be a World War III. And this World War III will be started by Russia. Russia will try to capture Jerusalem. If they can get Jerusalem, they can rule the world from the Middle East. But God Almighty says, if you touch my people, if you touch Israel, you touch the apple of mine eye. You are touching my prized joy. You are touching my chosen people. You are touching the people that I ordained, that I made a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 tribes of Israel. And these are my chosen people to represent me on earth through the nation of Israel and to bring the Messiah into the world and to write the holy scriptures as they was inspired by holy men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God said, don't touch my people, otherwise you're going to suffer the consequences. Any nation that tries to destroy Israel is in dire need of a bruising, because God said, I will utterly destroy you with the spirit of my mouth. Why? Because you have denied the nation in which I came, and these are my chosen people. So the battle of Armageddon is where God will eliminate the nations of the world for coming against the Jewish people and Jerusalem. The battle of Armageddon is when Jesus Christ comes back to earth with the church. The church is coming back with Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I put everything I got on it. The word of God is true. The word of God is right. The word of God is all that the world needs, but the world don't want it. The world don't want it. This wonderful Savior, this loving Savior, that's given us ample time to get right with him, and the world is saying, I ain't studying it. The world is saying, I don't care nothing about it. The world said, I don't want it. The world said, oh, this ain't going to happen. They've been talking about it too long, and it's been going on for so long. I don't believe it's going to happen, but make no difference what you say, what you think, what you know. Jesus Christ is coming back at the battle of Armageddon, when the nations of the world will be judged in the valley of Megiddo. And Megiddo is the battleground of over 40 battles across the annals of time. It was Goliath there. It was Jehoshaphat was there at the valley of Megiddo. And now Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back at the end of the tribulation period and do a battle war. It will be a war that will end all wars, and bring in the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come back with the church and set up his millennial kingdom. And the nation of Israel will be the head of all nations. They will know without a shadow of a doubt that this Messiah that they have rejected over 2,600 years is the one that's coming back in the clouds. And we will rule the world through Jesus Christ. We will be reigning with him. The church will be reigning with him. The tribulation saints will be reigning with him. The Old Testament saints will be reigning with him. All the nations of the world that receive Christ will reign with Christ on this earth. On this earth for 1,000 years of peace. Jesus Christ will build a brand new temple, because the old temple that was used in the tribulation period will be utterly destroyed, because Christ is not going to sit in that temple. He's going to destroy that third temple, which the Jews are preparing to build during the tribulation period. And at the end of the tribulation period, Christ will utterly destroy that third temple and rebuild a brand new temple, which is found in the book of Ezekiel, the 40th chapter to the 48th chapter. They will what? They will build a temple. Jesus Christ will sit in the temple. Jesus Christ will reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, where the creation will be brought back in the restoration of Jesus Christ through his blood. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ is going to do for the world. It's going to save those that want to be saved. And by those that want to be saved, they will be reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ during the 1,000-year reign. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Finally, peace will come to this earth. But as long, you hear what I said? I said as long as we are here on this earth, and as long as the devil is loose, as long as the devil is still has power to destroy and kill and rob, there won't be no perfect peace until Jesus Christ comes, and then there he's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And although, listen to me what I'm saying now, although that reject Christ in the Old Testament and the New Testament, those that reject Jesus Christ in the tribulation period, those that reject Jesus Christ in the millennium period, all those that deny the blood of Jesus Christ and deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty all by himself, don't need nobody else. He's God the Father. He's God the Son. And he's God the Holy Ghost. And when he come back, he's coming back one God. One God the Father, one God the Son, one God the Holy Ghost, all three are one. Co-equal. Co-equal. There's no three gods. There's one God. And that God is the God that created the heavens and the earth, and the God of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Jesus Christ is God. That's what I'm saying. Ain't nobody else. He is God. In the flesh, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, and received up into glory. And now the world is in a chaotic condition. It is messed up. It is so messed up, it's going to take God Almighty to eliminate the devil, to eliminate his demons, to eliminate the wicked, to eliminate all those that deny him and reject him, all those that curse him, all those that blaspheme him, all those that don't want nothing to do with God. They're telling God to take all this year salvation that you don't purchase for us, and you can shove it up the tube, and we ain't worried about it. But God said, what? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord of hosts. God got a day in which he is going to judge the world in righteousness. You hear what I said? Righteousness, not your righteousness, not your mama's righteousness, not your daddy's righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you're not in Jesus Christ, you have your own righteousness. And your own righteousness will not stand beside the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because he is God himself in the flesh, a sinless one, did no sin, said no sin, but he became sin, offering for your sin and my sin, that through his sacrificial death, that no man, no girl, no boy, no liar would have to go to hell. But the world says, there's no hell. God ain't going to put me in hell. I'm too good to go to hell. I got too much money. I got an education. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. There's none righteous. No, not one. All are polluted. Every human being on this planet is polluted with sin. And the only way you can get rid of sin in your soul, is through faith in Jesus Christ to wash you and make you whole again. There's no religion on this planet. There's no religion on this planet that will ever be qualified to be pleasing to God. You hear what I said? I said there's no denomination. There's no religion. There's no occult. There's no other God. There's no other deity. There's no other demon that can qualify to have their own religion and satisfy God, because man's religion will not ever come be qualified by God, because it's all stinky rag. It's filthy rag. The only way that God can accept you is through his son, Jesus Christ. I say it again. The only way God can accept you is through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for your sin. There is no other religion such as atheism. No way. You got the New Age movement. No way. You got Buddha. No way. You got Judaism, which was the Old Testament way of God making atonement for sins through animals. And that was only a type and shadow. That only lasted for about 3,000 years, but it had come to a dead end when Jesus Christ came. When Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law, because the law cannot justify you, because you justify by faith. We have peace with God, and the shed blood is in our heart through the blood of a cross, because without the cross, there is no hope. Without the cross, you don't have nothing to depend upon. You don't have nothing to offer sacrifice for your sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. And see, the animal blood was not good enough for the sacrifice. It was just a covering for sin. But the blood of animals and turtle doves and bullocks could not take away sin. It only covered sin, and it still was there. But when Jesus Christ came, it didn't only cover sin. It washed you, and it took sin out of you, because the Bible says, you know you passed from death to life because you love the brother. So what you saying, preacher? I'm saying no Shintoism. It can never qualify with God. The Mormonism can never meet the requirements that God wants. The Church of Unity, unqualified. The Church of Satanism, unqualified. The Church of Taoism, unqualified. The Church of the Lutherans, unqualified. Christian Science, unqualified. Jehovah Witness, unqualified. You got the Nazarene, unqualified. You got Islam, unqualified. You got the Methodists, unqualified. You got fascism. You got Catholicism. You got non-denom. You got the Church of God. You got the Baptist Church. You got the KKK. You got the Nazism Church. You got Armstrongism. You got voodoo. You got witchcraft. You got homosexuality and lesbianism church. You got an apostolic church. You got Church of God in Christ. You got Confucianism. You got humanism. And none of these denominations, and none of these occults, and none of these so-called new kinds of age movement can ever come to make God rejoice in heaven. The only way that man can come back to God, he's got to go to Calvary. Good God Almighty. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, because he can save your soul. He can save your soul. That's the only thing can save your soul. Ain't nothing else can save you. Baptist can't save me. Church of God can't save me. Humanism can't save me. Confucian, none of these religions or cults and all these little secret societies can't save nobody. Acts 4:12. You better read it. Let's see what Acts 4:12 says. Acts 4:12 says this. Good God Almighty. Acts 4:12, it goes like this. Acts 4:12 in the midst of the signs of time that we're living in. Here's the way that God planned it out 4,000 years before he came. He planned it out. And he ended up with this in the fourth chapter of Acts. In the fourth chapter of Acts, we read 4:12. 4:12 says, neither is there salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, we must be saved. You've got to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That cross that he hung 2,000 years ago, that blood has never lost its power. Can you tell me how come preachers are not preaching save Jesus and him crucified? The reason why they ain't preaching him, because they don't know him. Because if you know him, you can't do nothing but preach it. You can't do nothing but holler out. You can't do nothing but proclaim that that's the only way man can get to heaven. Because if he refuses the plan of salvation, he's going to bust hell wide open. And I don't say that with anger. I say that with love. He's going to bust hell wide open because no sin, no sin will ever, you hear what I said, no sin will ever enter into the kingdom of God forevermore. In other words, the elimination of sin will be cast into outer darkness and into the pits of hell and into the lake of fire with all the angels and all the imps and all the demons and all the Nephilim and all the wicked people will be cast into outer darkness where there will be wailing and wailing and gnashing the teeth, because Jesus Christ is the only way man can get back into heaven. Man can enter the heaven. Satan can't come back up in there. Satan is done. He's done. He's done. He can't repent. He can't be baptized. And he can't be redeemed. He can't come to the throne of God and tell God he wants to come back in all he wants. He can't come back in. And let me tell you something. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to repent of your sins. And that's what the devil's mad at, because he can't repent and you can. If you can repent, you ought to take the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ right now. Right now is accepted time to receive Christ in your life, because you're not going to hear it in the churches today. You're not going to hear it in the church today. You're not going to hear salvation. You're not going to hear the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. You're not going to hear about eternal judgment and damnation for the wicked. You're not going to hear anything about revelation, because preachers are not preaching it. The reason why, because they don't know nothing about it, don't want to know nothing about it, and they're trying to camouflage themselves, think they can sneak back in there, think they can find another way to get back in there. And let me tell you, if you try to find another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are worse than a thief and a robber. You trying to rob God. And you're trying to dethrone the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not, whoever believeth not, whoever believeth not shall be damned. I mean, damnation to your soul. Why? Because sin can damn your soul into the lake of fire. And Satan knows he is a lost cause. He knows, and that's why you see the world in such a bad shape. It is a bad situation going on. It's in the government. It's in the economical system. It's in the political system. It's in the church system. It's in all over the world. The world is trembling in fear of what's getting ready to happen on this planet. Because let me tell you, the tribulation is not going to be no picnic. It's not going to be no convention. It's not going to be no banqueting. There ain't going to be nothing but people trying to figure out how to escape How can they escape the wrath of God when God don't gave us the greatest salvation that you can ever think of? How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was spoken by the prophets in the Old Testament and now is spoken by his son, Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by me. You can't go by the Pope. You can't go by the preacher. You can't go by the sister. You can't go by the nun. And you can't go by the cardinal. You can't go by the, oh my God, you can't go by nothing. You can't go to heaven by nothing other than Jesus Christ. And this is what the devil don't want you to do. My friends, we're living in the last days, and the King is coming. He is coming sooner than I think he is, and he's coming back again. He don't came one time, but he's coming back again to get a what? A sanctified Holy Ghost filled, baptized believers that's on fire for him. And if you say today, if you are saved and sanctified, you ought to shout high in the sky. High in the sky, because ain't nobody going to escape this tribulation. The only ones that are going to escape it are those that know Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, we're living in that time where church service will never be the same. And preachers are not going to be able to preach revelation. Come on now. If they go behind the pulpit and don't preach revelation, it ain't going to mean a hill of beans. Not only preach revelation, but they were to preach the first coming of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. And then he's coming back again to get a church. And the church got to be holy. It's got to be holy. Holy means to be separated from sin, apart from sin. If you expect your soul to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of the Spirit. If you have not the Spirit of Christ in you, you do not belong to God. Everybody ain't a child of God. Just because you say you're a child of God, you ain't a child of God until you have been filled with the Spirit until the day of redemption. You must be born again. A lot of talk ain't going to do it. You've got to have and know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're living in that day where the government is collapsing. It already done collapsed. It's not going to get no better. And the world is trying to come out of this COVID. But the COVID is with us the rest of this decade. The COVID. Not only the COVID, but other diseases are going to come up. More diseases are coming up. Everybody worry about COVID. Instead of worrying about your soul, where are you going to go when you die? When you leave this earth, where are you going to go? It's appointed once for men to die, and after death, it's the judgment. That's a guarantee. You're not going to Walmart. You're not going to go down to the dollar store. You're going to judgment. Make no different race, creed, or color, background, your age. You're headed for judgment. Whether you save or not save, you're headed for judgment. Do you know where you're going when you die? Do you know where you're going when you die? You don't know. You better find out. Jesus Christ said, I am the light. Who that has the Son has light. Who that have not the Son has not light. If you don't have the Son of God living in you, walking in you, talking in you, and you loving people, and you doing what God wants you to do, guess what? You better find out. Because if a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. So you going around talking about you love God and you hate your brother, you a big, fat, lie, bald-faced liar. And God will not A liar will not tolerate. Will not come in the presence of God. And you talking about you going to heaven and you lying? You lying to God saying that you love him and that you hate your brother? You a liar. All liars will be cast into the lake of fire. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Who is a liar but he that denies that God Almighty is in the, came in the flesh and seen of angels and justified by the Spirit, received up in the glory? Who is a liar that denies the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Who is a liar that denies that God Almighty, the Creator, the beginning and the end, and Alpha and Omega, is not Jesus Christ in the flesh? All those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Christ, cast into the lake of fire. Everybody saying, well, you're going to heaven if you be good. You're going to heaven if you're going to hell if you be bad. It ain't about good or bad. It's about who you believe in, who you trust in, who you hope in, who you rejoice in, who you lifting up his name. It's all about not about you just going to church, going to church, going to church. And I ain't got nothing against going to church. But let me tell you, you can go to church through the front door, keep on walking down in the basement and going out the side door, the basement step, and go to hell. Right? Because you haven't received Christ in your life. You got a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. My friends, you need Christ in your life tonight. You really need Jesus Christ in your life tonight. Because we're living in the last days. And in the book of Zechariah, let's read what Zechariah said in that day. What will happen in that day? What day? The day that the Lord will judge the world. When do that judgment start? That judgment has been going on for a long time, but it's going to be fulfilled during the tribulation period. Day of the Lord. This is when the Lord is going to take the realm and take the reign, and he's going to let the Antichrist come, and he's going to let the Antichrist present himself, because he has to give Satan an opportunity to bring his circus on the scene, his clowns and his monkeys and his baboons. All these wicked spirits that's hovering the earth, all these demonic demons that's flying in the air in UFOs and all kinds of machinery that the world is going in conjure with. The world is in related to extraterrestrial. Don't you think these things coming out of the heavens is not having in contact with earthly beings? They do. They do. They in contact with the Vatican. They in contact with religious leaders. They're in contact with the Illuminati. They're in contact with secret society. The devil is in connection with all worldly governments. All worldly governments is controlled by Lucifer. Jesus Christ controls the church. Hallelujah. And anybody that want to come out of the world into the church will fall under the grace of God and be saved. So the devil's going to do his clowning. He's going to do his dirty work. He's trying to keep people from getting saved. Jesus Christ is telling them, come unto me, those that are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon thee and learn it. Come on, come on. He's wooing people in today. And most of the majority of the world is saying, we don't want it. We don't want Jesus. We want to do what we want to do, go where we want to go, say what we want to say, and then go to church a little bit and try to act like we all this and that, and don't know nothing about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Don't know a damn about it. They never felt or even thought about the agony and the pain and the remorse and the decision that Jesus had to make. And how it felt to take every sin that man ever did and put it on him. You don't know what it means, but those that are saved can rejoice and know what sin can do. And when you come out of sin, let me tell you, you're going to be a loving, loving person. Why? Because you are so thankful You're so thankful that the Lord has saved you from damnation. Because let me tell you, God does not have any respect to persons. Uh-oh. God does not have any respect of persons. He don't have no pets. He don't have no cage to put you in and pet you around. He don't have no favoritism. He's going to do no compromising with you. He's not gonna push you to receive Christ. He's telling you, I'll draw you if you want me to be drawn. And people today don't want to be drawn close to the Lord. They don't want the Lord. Majority of the world don't want the Lord. They don't want it. Because if you want him, then you can get it. And if you don't want him, you playing around with God. God is nobody to be playing with. Either you want him or you don't want him. And you say, well, I don't want it today. Maybe tomorrow. Well, see, tomorrow might be too late. Because folks are dying like flies. Young people are dying. Old folks are dying. Middle age are dying. Babies are dying. Dad has no respect of person. Satan will take anybody out of here that falls under the curse of sin. He's trying to take the saints out, but let me tell you, if I go out, it won't be because of sin. It'll be because my time came up, and God is through with me what I have to do. But while I'm here, I'm going to tell you one thing you don't want to do. One thing you don't want to do. One thing you don't want to go through. You might think you can go through. There's one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to die and leave this planet lost. You don't want to die a sinner lost. You don't want to die not knowing who Jesus Christ. You don't want to do that. No. You don't want to do that. Because if you die without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, without being washed in the blood, without being redeemed by the blood, without the love of God in your heart, if you die and leave this planet, I guarantee you, through the word of God, through every divine scripture that was written, I guarantee you, you will lift up your eyes in hell. Motivation speeches, all this old crazy ministry that some folks are preaching ain't worth a hill of beans. It won't stand up in nothing because folks think everybody going to heaven, make no difference what condition. Well, that's the biggest lie that ever will be told because the Bible said in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, hell, H-E-L-L, H-E-L has enlarged herself. And many go in to it. It is a place of what? Torment forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Never get any rest. Please, don't go. Don't go. During the tribulation period, people will have a choice to receive the mark of the beast or be beheaded for the faith in Christ. If you die with the faith in Christ, the minute you get your head cut off, oh yes, there's gonna be some head fallings here in America. There's gonna be a lot of bloodshed in the streets of America. Yes, it is. It's coming. It's coming. And going to church ain't going to save you out of it. There is going to be a great martyrism in the United States of America. People are going to die for the cause of Christ, and many are going to receive the mark of the beast so they can buy and sell. Because if you receive that mark, that means your soul is damned forever. That means that you are going to spend eternity in hell for rejecting the salvation through Jesus Christ. So you receive the mark of the beast on your back of your hand and on your forehead so that you can buy and sell. If you don't receive the mark, then that means that you would die. But if you receive the mark, that means that you can keep your house, your car, your bank account, you can keep your 401k, you can keep all your possessions if you receive the mark. And when you receive the mark, you're saying that this Antichrist is Jesus Christ, when it will not be Jesus Christ. It will be the devil disguising himself as Christ and causing people to worship him. 2 weeks ago, they had a G20 summit where 20 nations got together under the influence of the Pope. And the Pope is saying that in the future, he wants the world to recognize the one world church that would be led off by the Vatican and the Pope. The Pope is saying he wants to see and make a mandatory that you will come under one umbrella, under the Catholic Church, that all religion, whether you are an atheist, whether you're a Satanist, whether you're a whoremonger, whatever you are, I don't care what you are, where you came from, the color of your skin, we are demanding that we come under one umbrella, which is the world church, that will be the bride of Satan, the Antichrist. But first he's got to get the people in a position to be deceived. And now they have been deceived by how? By this coronavirus vaccination. If you don't get the vaccination, you lose your job, you lose your bank account, you lose everything. And so people are saying, I ain't gonna get the mark, they lose the job. Those that say get the mark can have the job. It's subliminal, your messages, and brainwashing you, getting you ready for what? The mark of the beast. Because when the mark of the beast comes, it's going to be more terrible and more anguish than the coronavirus ever thought of. Because if you don't receive the mark, you're going to die. And if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to put your faith in the Antichrist, so you can receive all your freedom to do what? Keep your car, keep your children, keep everything you got. But when you receive that computer chip, that means that you deny the burial and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you trade your soul in. You sold your soul to the devil, and there is such a thing called soul selling. Soul selling. The devil will buy your soul if you do what he tell you to do and if he give you enough money. And you say, well, what you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the same old demon, diabolical devil, met Jesus up on the top of Mount Temptation. And the last temptation, he told Jesus, said, now look, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you everything that you see. The empires. I give you the Egyptian empire. I give you the Assyrian empire. I give you the Babylonian empire. I give you the Median Persian empire. I give you all the Grecian empire. I give you the Roman empire. If you would do one thing for me, I want you to bow down to me. And if you bow down to me, I'll give you the world. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord God and him only. And the world today is worshiping everything but God. They won't bow down to God. They won't humble themselves before God. They won't repent to God. They won't confess Jesus Christ, the only Son that God has, to save humanity, because he ain't got no more sons, ain't no more sons coming after him, and there was no son come before him. He is the only begotten Son of the world, and through him you can receive eternal life. And the world is saying, ain't got time. Ain't got time for that stuff. Ain't got time to be bowed down to something I can't see. That's why the Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For you must believe that he is and that he's a reward for those that literally seek him. Well, what is faith? Faith is a substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. I never seen Jesus. I never seen him hang on the cross. I never seen him drop his head between the locks of his shoulder. I never seen him take him off the grave, take him off the cross and put him in the grave. I wasn't there when he got up from the grave. I wasn't there when he ascended up into heaven. But my mind, my soul, my every being says, I believe it and I accept it. And when you accept what Jesus Christ done for you and you tell him to come into your life, he will verify that what you don't see, yet you believe, I'm going to bless you with salvation forever. That means my soul is saved forever. I don't have to worry about tornadoes and bombs. I don't have to worry about coronavirus. I don't have to worry about all the catastrophe that's going to hit upon this earth because Jesus Christ done saved my soul. And I guarantee you, he said, I'm going to let you know you can't escape it through the cross. And now, we're in that time now where the world is shaking and is rattling and is rolling. And in the book of Zechariah, I'm going to read some scriptures in there. You can get your Bible out. I'm going to read some scriptures in there, and I want you to go with me. We're going to try to take our time, but I want you to get a full understanding of what this is all about. In the 12th chapter of Zechariah, a minor prophet speaks of a day that will never be up on this earth until it comes. And when it comes, there won't be none before it, and there won't be none after. This is the day that God is going to recompense. God is going to seek out those that really love him. He's going to find them, and he's going to redeem them. And those that reject him, oh, you talking about a time of troubles coming. Look what Zechariah is saying for the last day during the tribulation period. He said, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. God is the maker. God is the one that formed the spirit within me. He said, behold, I will make Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that you see today, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto the people round and about. When they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. The nations of the world is going to tremble. They're going to shake. They're going to rattle. And they're going to roll. Why? Because they're planning to overthrow Jerusalem and conquer Jerusalem. And he said in the third verse, in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves, it shall be cut in pieces through all the people, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. My friend, what is Zechariah saying? Well, Zechariah is saying here that Jerusalem is going to become a cup of trembling. And the nations that come against Jerusalem, God, listen to me now, God is going to cut them to pieces. He's going to cut them to pieces because Jerusalem is the city of the king. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Jerusalem is the oldest city on the face of the earth that has been torn down and rebuilt more than any other city, and it is still standing because it is the city in which Jesus Christ came to this earth, Bethlehem of Judea. It is the city that King of Kings came. It is the city that Jesus Christ was born, baptized. It's the city in which Christ did more miracles in this area than any other place in the world other than since he's been gone. He's done marvelous miracles. And then you got all the world's coming against Jerusalem. Why? Satan can't stand Jerusalem. Satan cannot stand Jerusalem because Jesus Christ lived there. He did his ministry there. He was baptized there. He taught in the temple there. He died there. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane there. He come down to the judgment hall and went to Pontius Pilate, and he was judged there. They took him down to the pinnacle, and they whipped him there. They mutilated him. They spat on him. They kicked him. They did everything they did to humiliate him and cause him to change his mind that I can't go to Calvary's cross. Oh, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, let my will, let your will be done. And he went to Calvary. Yes, he did. He went to Calvary, and he was beaten for your low-down, dirty, rotten stuff. He was whipped for your fornication and your adultery. He was nailed to the cross for all your sins. He was hung up there for 6 long hours, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He dropped his head between the locks of his shoulder and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. They took him down off the cross and laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Ooh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Now, you name me somebody else in the Word of God that did that. And if you can't find nobody in the Word of God, go on down there to the biggest library that you can think of and try to find somebody that did what Jesus done, said what Jesus said, did the miracles that Jesus done, hung on the cross like Jesus done. Come on now, find me somebody. Find me, so I double dare you to find me somebody. And if you come back with somebody, buddy, you better have somebody. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't coming back with nobody. You can take all the dictators, all the great men of the world and put them together. You still wouldn't equal to what Jesus Christ was. He was God all by himself. He didn't make himself. He was self-existent. He didn't discover himself. He was self-existent. He always existed. Always existed. You say what she said? I said he always existed. He will never go out of existence. He will be there when heaven and earth is gone. He will be there when the stars refuse to shine. He'll be there when the moon turns red. He'll be there when the sun go out. He'll be there when I'm dead and gone. He'll be there when you are dead and gone. He will always exist. And here you are, rejecting the only thing he had. He didn't have no more sons. He only had one, and he is the son. And he was born as a child. A child was born, and what a son was given. The son was not born. The son was given because the son is pre-existence. And here we are in the 12th verse of Zechariah. Says in the 4th verse, in that day, says the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. I will open up mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. This is what he's going to do with the people that come against Jerusalem. That means all the Islams and the jihads and the all the wicked people who hate the Jews and hate the city of Jerusalem. God said, I'm going to smite the horse with blindness and smite the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my, and the Lord of hosts, their God. In that day, good God Almighty, in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a heart of fire amongst the wood, like a torch of fire in the sheath. And they shall devour all the people and round and about of the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah, first that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angels of the Lord before them. There's a day coming when Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Jerusalem will be the most gorgeous, most magnificent city upon the planet. That will be being during the millennium reign, where Jesus Christ will rule and reign out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years. This is what this is talking about. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the spirit of grace of the supplication. And they shall look, good God Almighty, they shall look upon me, whom they have perished. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Good God Almighty, the 10th verse identifies Jesus Christ coming back to earth. When he comes back to earth, the Bible says that he will come back from the same mountain that he left on. And if you want to know what mountain he left on the top of the Mount of Olives. When he left on the top of Mount of Olives, he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again. He told the disciples to go down in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. For he shall send you the power of the Holy Ghost, and you shall be a witness for me. God, Lord, have mercy. He left the Mount Olive. And when he left Mount Olive, the disciples started gazing into heaven. And as they were gazing into heaven, two men came down and said, why ye men of Galilee stand here gazing into heaven? Don't you know this same Jesus is coming back on the same mountain that he left on, and he shall see him as he is? And then Zechariah came along in the 10th verse and said, the same mountain that he left on, he's coming back on, and that mountain is the Mount of Olives. And the reason why he's coming on top of the Mount of Olives, he said, because when I come back, my people shall be in their land, and I'm going to reveal myself to them. And when he comes back on the top of the Mount of Olives, he's going to stand on the top of Mount of Olives, and he's going to hold up his hands. And they're going to ask him, where did you get your wounds from? And the Lord God Almighty, his son Jesus Christ, will say, I got them from the household of my friends. Now, what am I saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, when Christ comes back, he's coming back on the same mountain that he left on. He left on the Mount of Olives, and he's coming back on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is east of Jerusalem. And when he comes back on the Mount of Olives, he's going to hold up his hands to Israel, because Israel will be in the land. And when he comes back and stands up on the top of the Mount of Olives and hold up his hands, the Jews are going to ask him one unique question. Oh, my God. They're going to say, where did you get your wounds from? Where did you get those nail prints from? Where did you get them nail prints in your feet? Where did you get that pierced side? Where did you get them from? And Jesus will say back to them, from the household of my friends. And the eyes, the scale of the Jewish nation, the scale of unbelief will fall from their eyes. And their eyes will be opened. And they will identify Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah that they rejected for 2,600 years. They're going to be revealed, and they're going to mourn. Listen here. Listen to what I'm saying. After the battle of Armageddon, they are going to mourn for 30 days just before the millennium reign. They're going to cry. They're going to repent. They're going to humble themselves. they're going to be feeling sorry for themselves, realizing that they rejected the Messiah the first time, and yet still he loved them so much that he was able to reveal him to the nation of Israel, and Israel will repent. A remnant will repent. Listen, I read that again. I will pour upon the house of David and up under the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. That's the handprint. That's the nail print. That's the pierced side. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. In that day, the Lord God Almighty, his son Jesus Christ, will literally, absolutely stand on the top of the Mount of Olives, and Israel and the nations of the world, especially Israel, they are going to be in a repentant spirit for 30 days. They are going to mourn over their only son. And you know something? In the biblical times, in the Jewish tradition, if the firstborn would die, did you know if the firstborn would die, that the family wouldn't have nobody to carry the seed on? And here they realize now, Jews realize now, that they killed God's only son. And if it wasn't for who he was, Israel would have never been able to be saved. But by God's love and his mercy, he raised his own son up himself from the grave. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is hope to the world, hope to the Gentiles, hope to the drunkard, hope to the liar, hope to the backbiter, hope to the whoremonger, hope to the lesbianism, hope to the drug addict, hope to the alcoholic, hope to the wife beater, hope to the baby killers, hope through Jesus Christ. That's the only hope we have. And the only way that God's going to straighten this world out, guess what? He's got to eliminate the devil and the wicked people before he can start the millennium reign. All the wicked will be eliminated, and the devil will be put into the bottomless pit. And God's going to start new, afresh, just like he did in Noah. Only 8 souls will save in the time of the flood. And by the time of the flood was flooded out, when they came off the ark, only 8 souls was capable enough of replenishing the earth again one more time. But this time it ain't going to be water. It's going to be fire. And God's going to eliminate every wicked thing that's not like him before he can start the millennium reign. He's going to put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. He's going to tell the goat, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. He's going to tell the sheep, come into my Father's house, which he has prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And we're going to go into the millennium reign. And those that go into the millennium reign will be saved, and they will repopulate the earth one more time. One more time. God is going to repopulate the earth with the saints that came through the tribulation that's still in their natural body, and they receive salvation. They will go into the millennium reign with Jesus Christ and repopulate the earth. And the earth will bring back longevity. War will be eliminated. Police will be eliminated. Prisoners, drugs will be eliminated. Everything that's not like God will be eliminated. The only sin that man will have to deal with during the millennium reign is unbelief. Unbelief is something that you can't blame on the devil. And this is one sin you cannot blame on the devil, and that's unbelief. Because the devil believes, and he trembles at the name of Jesus. The devil believes more than the sinner does. He knows who God is. He knows who Jesus is. He knows that he died. He knows that he resurrected from the grave. He knows that. And he got man denying it. Why? Because he knows that's his only thing that can defeat Satan is the blood of Jesus Christ can rip him apart, tear him down to zero factor. And so now God's going to prove to man that man is totally, totally depraved. So him standing on the top of Mount Olive, Jesus Christ is coming back. That's where he's going to stand, on the top of Mount Olive. That's what Zechariah is saying in the 10th chapter. And he said, in that day, there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarim in the valley of Megiddo, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and the wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and the wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the families of Shema apart, and the wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Woo! Listen to what he's saying. He's saying that when Christ comes back, the house of Israel will be in the valley. They will see his hand. They will be able to look up on his face and look up on his nail print and look up on his feet and say, woo, this is our Messiah. And they will recognize him first time in human history. Woo, glory be to God. God knows what he's doing. I'm going to be there. I'm going to see this. I'm going to witness this. Why? Because the same Savior, Jewish Messiah, called the Gentiles to. And by the unbelief of the Jewish people, he said, I'm going to cut them off and I'm going to engraft the Gentiles in. And now we're coming to the point of human history where God is going to cut the Gentiles off and bring the Jews back in. And when the Jews come back in, they are going to preach the gospel for the next 7 years while the church will be excommunicated to heaven. And the world is going to witness the greatest revival, the greatest revival that ever hit this planet. It's going to be so great that John the Revelator, after the 144,000 get through preaching, they're going to ask John, say, wait a minute, John, where did these come from, man? Who are they? And he said, don't you know? He said, no. He said, these are they that came out of great tribulation. These are the tribulation saints. These are the ones that got saved after the rapture. These are the ones that gave their life to Christ during the tribulation period. After they heard the 144,000, many Gentiles got saved and Jews got saved during the tribulation period because they have never heard anything like this. Oh, yes, I know you done heard about the church. The church done its mission, and I'm sorry to say I feel bad about it. The church has failed God. My Lord, have mercy. I want to be more like Christ, that I can be a benefit to the love of God. The church has failed God, but God says, I still love you. I still love you, and I'm still going to keep you. I'm not going to leave you because you're my body, only by the blood of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, you know one thing you ought to know. If you're right, because if you're right with God, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, have you been to the water to be baptized? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Have your life been changed? And now you can say, I know the Lord because the love of God has passed all understanding. You know that you know you've been born again because because you love the brother. Because if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a stone liar. And there's no liar will ever come in the presence of God. Don't you know the millennium reign is not far off, and the battle of Armageddon is not off, and the tribulation is right up on us, because that's the end. That's the end. When the tribulation starts up, that's going to be the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end is when the Antichrist comes out of Western Europe, come out of the 10 European common markets. And this level horn had eyes and spoke great things against the Most High. That's the 11th horn. And the 11th horn that came out of Western Europe was Spain. And out of Spain comes the royal diadem of the ancestors of Esau and Jacob. Esau was the one that sold his birthright. And Jacob was the one that stole his birthright. These are brothers together. Esau was brother of Jacob. And Jacob caught a hold of the heel of Esau when he came out of his mother's womb. And now that struggle is still going on. And the Gentile nations will link up with the fallen, link up with the Spanish, because the Spanish are the ones that persecuted the Jews in 1492. 1492, it was the descendants of Esau that told the Jews to get out of Spain. If you don't get out, we don't kill you. And then Jeremiah came along. He said, there's at last, that great day has come. And he says, it's going to be like the sign and be like the time of Jacob's trouble. And this year, Jacob's trouble is an Old Testament event that's going to reveal in the New Testament during the tribulation period. So what you're saying, preacher, I'm saying this. I'm saying the Antichrist is here. I'm saying he's coming from Spain. I'm saying that his name is King Felipe. King Felipe out of Spain. He's 6'6". He's got two daughters and a son. And by him having his son, his father's name Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos is a descendant of the throne of David. Coming down, Jesus did not get married to no woman. Jesus Christ was God. I mean, people are crazy. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He ain't going to marry into his own creation. So, all those nations in Israel were scattered all over the face of the earth. They intermarried and mingled in. And so now you got Spanish Jews, you got German Jews, you got Jews all over the world. And out of these Jewish people, they mixed with the Gentiles. And when the Antichrist comes, he's coming out of the sea of humanity. And he will rule and reign on this earth for 7 years. But when he comes to initiate himself, he will come on the peace platform. You see, the world is so messed up now. Ain't nobody going to straighten it out. Ain't nobody going to straighten this world out. No political, no preacher, no deacon, no church member, no nothing. Ain't going to straighten it out. And the world now is crying for a leader, a world leader, a leader that they will admire. A leader in the time of chaotic condition of the United States and all over the world in a chaotic condition. Everything is failing, but the word of God will stand forever. The word of God. Church folks are quitting, giving up. They say this thing ain't nothing. It's a hocus pocus. It ain't not going to happen. But let me tell you, those that's in the church, I ain't talking about the local church. I'm talking about born-again believers, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and maturing in the Christian race. Knows what's getting ready to happen. And then you got some sleepy saints. You got carnal saints. You got saints are saved and living in carnality. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they ain't going. You got backsliders. And you know what God said about a backslider? I'm married to a backslider. I'm married to you. You have my Holy Spirit, but you don't backslid. You don't left your first love. And a backslider is not necessarily somebody going way back out there in the world. A backslider is people sitting up in the church now, backsliding condition, taking communion, doing what they want to do. Backsliding, let me tell you. As far as salvation, your salvation is already taken care of. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he saved your soul. But where the crying and the repentance is going to end up at, it's going to end up at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a lot of saints crying, repenting. I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I was hard-headed. And the Lord is going to say, now, I'm going to test your works. I'm going to test your works. What did you do for me while you was on earth? You accepted me, but what did you do with me? I'm going to try your works. I'm going to cast gold, silver, and brass in, and I'm going to cast wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble represent flesh. Gold, silver, and brass represent the spirit of Christ. And I'm going to cast it in. And what comes out, you may suffer loss, but yet as your soul shall be saved. If I cast gold, silver in, gold, silver going to come out. You get a reward. You get a reward. God is going to reward those for the things that you've done in the spirit. In the spirit. What you did for Christ is the only thing going to stand. And it's the only way that you can come before the judgment seat of Christ is that you must be born again. Because if you're not been born again, you're going to be here on earth going through the tribulation period. That's how that works. You're walking by faith. And so faith says, I don't see God. And since I don't see it, but yet and still I believe it. Without faith, it's impossible, impossible to please God. But you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. My friends, time is running out. Time is running out. If you're not hearing anything about Revelation today, you better find out. You better get to somebody that knows something about Revelation, and God has touched your heart. And this person that's coming out of Revelation is God sent. I've been in it for 56 years. I've been preaching the gospel. And most people don't like it. It ain't me. They don't like the Bible. They don't like Revelation. They don't like John 1:1. They don't like Genesis. They don't like the Apostle Paul when he wrote all about church behavior and marriage. They don't want that. And when the saints stand before God, I'm talking about saints now. I ain't talking about ain'ts. Got a whole lot of ain'ts, but saints is the only one going to stand at the bema seat of Christ. And you're going to be judged. By you being judged, that means that you receive either one of these rewards, wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and brass. There's five crowns, that a born-again believer can receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Five crowns you can receive. Some going to receive one, some going to receive two. Some going to receive one. That one that you, everybody receives is the crown of life. You accepted Jesus Christ, you get a crown. But the other The other four crowns, those you have to work for. And you can't work for it unless you know Jesus Christ. Ooh. Jesus Christ said, you can't do nothing without me. I ain't talking about on the outside. I'm talking about inside of you. What Christ does is the only thing that's going to stand through you. This will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Zechariah goes on to say this. 13th chapter. He said, in that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This is the fountain. Jesus Christ is the fountain. There is the fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein. If the sinner fall beneath the flow, he or she will lose all his guilty stain. Here's Zechariah talking to the children of Israel, not only to the children of Israel, but to the Gentile nations too. There's a fountain to open to the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for the sin. What sin? Sin that Adam and Eve brought on down through the last 6,000 years. When Adam and Eve fell, the whole human race went to pot. But Jesus Christ came, and when he came, he come to save the seeking those that are lost. Then he said, whosoever will, let him come. In no wise will I cast out. Then he said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many go in thereat. For narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth to life, and very few will find it. So everybody got a choice. Everybody got an opportunity. Everybody can't make no excuses when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, I didn't know. Because the only one going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ at Bema seat is a born-again believer. Those that rejected him and died in their sins and never accepted Jesus Christ won't get up until the last second, the second resurrection. And at the second resurrection, there is no power in it. And they will stand before the great white throne, and the books will be opened, and all the things that's done in the book, the wicked dead will be judged from it. 13:2 says, and it shall come to pass in that day. What day? The tribulation day. The tribulation week. The 7 years tribulation. Says the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the name of idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will call the prophets and the uncertain, unclean spirit to pass out of it. Woo! At the end of the tribulation period, God's going to wipe out. He's going to wipe out every idol out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. Every idol, every false religion and demigods and demons and devils and false men that worship everything but God is going to be wiped out of the land. They won't be even named among us during the millennium reign. This is what Zechariah talking about. The millennium reign will be, we be so unique, significant. It's unbelievable. And it shall come to pass that when they shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother shall beget him, shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that beget him shall trust him through prophesy. Good God Almighty. It's gonna be a rod of iron during the millennium reign. If you have a child during the millennium reign and he comes speaking about another prophet or idolatry, it's up to the parents. Make sure that he don't live, because no name, no God, no false God will be named amongst them during the millennium reign. If it is, death is at the door. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to rule with a rod of iron. And all this foolishness that people are doing today, they're not teaching their children nothing. They're teaching everything. They're teaching them Halloween. They teach them Ouija board. They teach them witchcraft. They're teaching Harry Potter. They're teaching them all this idolatry and demons and devils. And they come up with devils in them running through the streets and don't have no idea where they came from, no idea where they're going, no idea about salvation, no idea about why you're here on earth, and then they tell me during the millennial reign, that's going to be cut out. It's going to be cut out. The devil will be bound anyway for 1,000 years at this time. This is what it says. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he has prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he that say, I am no prophet, I am no husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle for my youth. And one shall say unto him, listen to this now. What are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the household of my friend. The Jews will ask him, where did you get your wounds from? From the household of my friend. And when Jesus says that, like I said before, their eyes is going to open up and the scales of unbelief is going to drop from them. And they're going to recognize the Messiah. This is the millennium reign now. This is not this season and time now. This is future. This is what's happening in the future. And the Bible tells you exactly what the future going to be like. Down to the T. It tells you that the Antichrist is coming, which is future. It tells you that the Jews going to build a temple. It's future. It tells you they're going to get 2 red heifers. It's a future. It's that the Antichrist is going to be infused by the devil and become the beast. It tells you that the false prophet is going to prophesy to tell the world to worship the beast and to fall down. It tells you that Jesus Christ is coming from the sky and open up the heavens, and he's going to ride on a white horse. It tells you that he's going to have the church with him. It tells you. What else do you want? I don't have to go to a crystal ball and know my future. I know what my future. My future is with Jesus Christ forever. I won't have to go through this no more. One time is enough. And that's why I'm going to praise him forevermore. And that's why I try to tell people everywhere I go, try to tell them, you need to know who Jesus is. He's more than a mere man. He's God all by himself that became man. To him, men, women, boys, and girls can be saved by his wonderful grace. His wonderful grace is so wonderful, many people today is trampling all over it. But one day, they ain't going to be able to trample all over it. It's going to be over. The 7th verse says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand up on the little ones. And it shall come to pass in that all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say to it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Israel is going to be the head of the nation. Israel shall be saved. Israel shall be restored. Israel will be the head of the nations during the millennium reign. Millennium reign is not far off, my friend. You might think it's years away, but it's not far off. The day is far spent. The hours drawing nigh. Every minute, every second, every year, every hour, every month, drawing nigh. Men are waxing worse and worse. Evil men, or wicked men, dirty men, filthy men, gone and seeing, telling God what to do, telling God how to run things, they try to eliminate him in the high school, they eliminate him in the government, they eliminate him in the homes and houses, they eliminate on the street corner. Well, that's all right. Mm-hmm. God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. I don't know about you, and I know it gets sucked. Sometimes it seems like you can't make it. Seems like the better you try to get, the more temptation comes along. But that's all right. Why don't you just press on to your high calling, which is in Christ Jesus? Why don't you lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finish of our faith? I know the world is reeling and rocking to and fro like a drunken man, and the world is trying to figure out how can we get out of this. But there's no way out but by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no hope and nothing else. There's no settling of mind and peace of heart until you meet Jesus. When you come to Jesus, when you come to Jesus and give him your everything, give him your heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm low down. Lord, I'm wicked. Save my soul from sin. Apostle Paul said, if you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. 1, 2, and 3. For no man can come to God unless he draws him. No man can say he saved himself. Jesus said, except you repent and turn from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Whoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believeth not shall be damned. The devil is on the job 24/7, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. He ran down through the last generation. The last generation started in 1948. This is the last generation. There is no generation after this. What you mean, preacher? This generation will end at the return of Jesus Christ in the cloud with the church to set up the everlasting millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom will be found in the book of Isaiah. We will find what the millennial kingdom will be like. And the millennial kingdom in the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. It reads thusly. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek, for the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness, good God Almighty, listen, and righteousness shall be girded upon his loins, and his faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Millennial reign says this. Sixth chapter talks about the millennium reign. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, and shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the suckling child shall play with the hole of an ass. In other words, a small child was play with a snake during the millennium reign. Oh, hallelujah! And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cock thrice dead. That means a cobra. He'll play with a cobra. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth, good God Almighty, the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the water cover the sea. Ain't no more this knowledge of worldly stuff. It's going to be during the millennium reign. All this old crazy ideas and music and the way people dress and the way people live and the way people do God, it ain't going to be doing this during the millennium reign. It's going to be peace in the valley. Ain't going to be no more Social Security, no more hospital, no more prisons, no more whole houses, no more child abuse, no more baby killing. No! God is going to eliminate it. He's going to get rid of the devilish, diabolical plot that the devil has been doing for the last 6,000 years, and the Lord's knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the sea covers the earth. Hallelujah. Why don't you say amen? I'm ready to go. There's nothing for me to do on this earth, but right now is to preach the gospel. Looking for no degree. I'm not looking for no fame or glory. I'm not looking for all this worldly materialism. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come back to this earth any day. He's coming back to get a church first. When he gets his church, judgment will fall upon this world full capacity. The world will be judged. And there's no excuses for nobody out there going to hell. No excuses. And there won't be none. It'll never be none. Because God don't give us overwhelming grace, overwhelming love, overwhelming forgiveness if you want it. And wonderful salvation. Eternal salvation, everlasting salvation. No man can cut me out of God's almighty hand. I'm in his hand forever. And Satan can't do nothing about it. Now, what is your problem? Would you like to be saved tonight? Would you like to be saved this evening? Would you like to meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, once and for all? The only thing you've got to do is what John the Baptist said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways and look toward the cross, for the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. Now is the appropriate time, because at any moment, a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ could rise, and we that remain alive will be called to meet the Lord in the air. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, because it's going to get bad after it's over. When that rapture occurs, it's going to get bad, but it's going to seem like to a lot of people it's getting better. But the trick of the devil is to make things look good first until he gets you clapped in. And then he's going to turn into a beast, an animal, lower than an animal. He's going to try to wipe out the whole human race. And the only way you can escape The only way you can escape is through Christ Jesus, God's Son. Accept him. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you can bow your head right now. And when you bow your head, you can say one thing, Lord, I am a sinner. I am lost. I don't know nothing about you, oh head knowledge, but I want to feel your heart. I want to feel the heart of Christ. I want him to feel me. I want him to come inside of me and live. I want him to change my life. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, woo, and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. There is room at the cross for you. Millions have come, but there's still room for one. There's room, absolutely a lot of room left at the cross for you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Miss a football game, miss basketball game, miss your swimming lesson, miss school, miss your best friend, but don't miss Jesus. Don't tell him to walk on by. Tell him to stop. Stop by my house, and I'll open up my heart and let you in. And when you let him in, he's in. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. You will always be a child of God. And we'll suck to fall, but you're still a child of God. Because God will chastise those whom he loves. But if you think you can do anything you want to and be a Christian and take communion and God don't chastise you, he don't correct you, he don't make you go through things that you don't want to go through, then the Bible says you're a bastard, you're not son. You don't have a father. You don't have a spiritual father. Because a lot of people say they're saved. And they cussing, lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremonger, lobbering, you know, all kind of old mess. And they ain't getting chastised. You know why? Because God is not their father. They're lying. They're lying. They're going to the formality of Christianity. Christianity. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. You need Jesus right now. Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life right now. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry. I'm broken up. I got a contrite spirit. My spirit is broken because I have sinned against a holy, loving, forgiving God. I have done him wrong. And he don't like the way he's been treated. And he's willing enough to forgive you. Just confess it with your mouth. And believe with your heart that God raised you from the dead. And he'll come into your soul. He'll come into your spirit. And he'll give you a new way. What is all here today? The Antichrist is alive. The Jews getting ready to build a temple. Getting ready to get the two heifers together. They're getting the priesthood and the ephod together to build the temple. Their anticipation right now, Russia and Israel getting ready to fight. Jihad getting ready to fight. The Iranians getting ready to fight against Israel. It's all here. It's all here. Storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, killing, murder, earthquakes. All this is building up to the final time when the world is going to shake, rattle, and roll. and the world is going to witness the greatest takeoff ever known to human history. Enoch took off. Elijah took off. Isaiah went to the throne of God. Ezekiel was caught by the locks of the hair. Philip was transported to the Ethiopian. Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after the resurrection. And he's coming back again. And before he comes back to the earth and his feet touch Mount of Olives, he's going to rapture his body up. The redeemed body. The blood body. The blood that has his blood. And unless you've been born again, you do not have the blood of Christ in you. You need the blood of Jesus Christ in you through the Holy Spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio, down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Tim wasn't able to make it this evening. You continue to pray for him. Pray for me that I grow strong in the Lord and keep on preaching the word until the Lord tell me that's it. Y'all pray for me that I grow strong. I'll be praying for you that you come back Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. We'll talk about some more of this wonderful salvation and the return of the King. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. As we close, this is Elder Bazaar. Signing off. See you Sunday at 5 o'clock. This is Elder G. Bazaar, Warren, Ohio, watchman on the wall.